Everybody shut the fuck up.
Crack-a-lacka.
There's no arguing with the judge.
We are editing this entire segment out of the podcast.
I apologize. I will flagellate myself later.
I hope you come up with something good.
All right, this is going to go great.
How now, brown cow?
Red leather, yellow leather.
What's the haps?
What are the haps?
You're listening to A Little Nonsense, where the conversation is competitive and the ads aren't real. I am your host and moderator, Joe Moracle. With me, as always, is the Wonder Woman and Superman to my Batman, Sean Keller.
You always go so hard into that, you know, you're like, you're listening. Just take it easy.
No. And Mike Pareto.
Yeah, so again, we've got a situation where you've picked a male and a female counterpart.
Which one are we?
Yeah.
Am I Superman or Wonder Woman?
I think it's pretty obvious, but they're both dope things to be. So,
well, I think this time I'm the Superman. No, you're the Batman, right, Joe? You're the Batman?
I am the Batman. That's
Am I Wonder Woman because I have the biggest tits?
First of all, you don't. That's me.
So wait, why am I Wonder Woman? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I didn't say you were.
I'm Superman.
Joe, this is your only opportunity to say, I'm Batman.
If you think this is my only opportunity to say I'm Batman, then you don't know me or this show. But at the top of the episode, we're going to Mike. Mike, what have you got for us?
Well,
I'm Batman.
Actually, I think I want to talk about UFOs.
All right.
Yeah.
That's great.
We haven't talked about that yet, right? UFOs?
Never.
Okay, we're going to talk about that.
Well, I mean, we've spent several segments of the show talking about aliens.
Yeah, and they're always my segments.
What, first of all, that is not true.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. I have done segments on aliens.
Aliens are identified as aliens, so they're not unidentified.
Yeah, a UFO, it doesn't have to be an alien.
Yeah, we haven't done UFO specific. That's what I'm getting to.
They're definitely aliens, but they don't have to be aliens.
No.
So, so Joe, who is this segment brought to us by?
Learn the fascinating history and secrets of soap making at the Wetumpka Soap House Museum and Gift Shop. We have over 33,000 varieties of soap on display, complete with comprehensive histories dating back to the earliest known Babylonian soaps of 2800 BC, and a complete breakdown of ingredients. If you were to spend only a minute at each riveting exhibit, learning the absolutely thrilling practices through which each and every variety of soap are produced, it would take you almost a month without sleeping. With all of that amazing soap to see, you'd have to be a real dirty duck not to take advantage of our monthly, annual, or lifetime membership packages. Be sure to swing by our gift shop on your way out and purchase any number of truly exciting soaps for your loved ones or yourself. And if you believe, as we do, that cleanliness is next to godliness, join us in worship every Sunday.
Oh, God.
As we host a Christian Pentecostal tent revival in our parking lot. The Wetumpka Soap House and Museum Gift Shop is on Alabama State Route 9, right behind the Chevron station. Come see our soap and hear our song of worship. The Soap House Museum and Gift Shop, God Save the Clean. Back to you, Mike.
I hate to say it, but that place could totally exist.
It probably does.
I mean, I'm sure it does because they're giving us money to advertise on this program.
Yeah, well, of course, absolutely. Yeah. It is very much a real place.
But Joe, do you remember our last road trip? Do you remember driving past a place called Goat Stuff?
I believe it was called Goat Milk Stuff, and yes, I do.
Oh, Goat Milk Stuff. That's right. Goat Milk Stuff. There really are stores like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 100% the most unappetizing way to advertise, you know, goat milk and goat cheese. Nobody wants to have goat milk stuff.
It wasn't just the edible stuff. It was also like soap and lotion and like,
yeah,
it was all that stuff.
Cheese and milk and ice cream and soap and lotion and probably, yeah, almost certainly some kind of candle.
And they had like 7 billboards.
Which is 6 too many billboards.
Hopefully one of our listeners does not work at goat milk stuff.
And if you do, reach out to us through the mail hole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. Oh my god, I got so drunk so quickly, I forgot we have mail in the mail hole.
Ooh. A what? Get out of here.
Yeah, all right, this email says, Joe, you got it right. Mike definitely won.
What?
This was in regards to the secret barrel of secrets during subjective trivia.
Wait a minute, in, what?
In episode 15. It's a 15. Secret string. And I know that because I reached out and asked for clarification. But listener Jen also goes on to say, thanks for making this podcast. It truly makes my commute so much better, though I probably look insane laughing by myself.
Wow.
Love you guys.
I mean, we're making her laugh by herself. That's pretty good.
What Jen doesn't tell us is that she actually works from home, so the commute is very, very short. That's very sweet.
She, thank no, you, I, Jen. I know Jen, and she works in space. It's a very long commute.
Wait, which part of space?
Outer space.
It's by Saturn.
The outer, not the inner space.
Outer space.
It's by Saturn, space. So it's a very long way away.
So wait, she emailed just to say that Mike won?
Initially, what? Yes. She agreed with me that Mike won that final round of subjective trivia.
Oh, well, yeah, I agreed too. Mike's answer was the
best.
We
all agreed.
So thanks for telling us what we already knew, Jen. Maybe get back to
Sean,
work.
Sean, don't berate our listeners. All right, Mike, please resume your segment.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about UFOs. So, there've been some recent developments with aliens. They're here. No.
They're here. So they're taking our jobs.
I think I'm going to start
right behind
with
you.
So my sister brought this up to me the other day. She watched the Netflix documentary on Bob.
Your sister.
Bob Lazar?
Yeah. Lazar. Bob, yeah, Lazar. Yeah. Bob Lazar. I told you guys about this documentary like a month ago.
I'm going to watch it. I haven't yet watched it, which makes it kind of funny that I'm actually
Bob Lazar
bringing this up. Because I know I've read a lot about him. So I haven't actually heard him on the documentary or in interviews at all. I've only just read shit.
Yeah.
But now, you know, so we've got credible people. I'm not saying, okay, Bob, say what you will about Bob Lazar. He seems very credible from what I've read, but we have credible people that we can say for sure are credible, like pilots and like Navy officers and Air Force personnel and stuff, giving credible reports of sightings. And there's even video taken from aircraft that show UFOs conducting maneuvers that we consider physically impossible.
Sure.
Like the Tic Tac, the Nimitz incident, right?
Yeah.
So this thing, you know, there's video of it, and they say that the multiple witnesses, very credible people, say that there were like hundreds of these all day that they spotted, like diving into the ocean and coming up and just like twisting around and spinning around and doing shit that aircraft that we have can't possibly do. It's just physically impossible.
Yeah.
We also know the Pentagon is now officially encouraging and studying the reports. In fact, there's a program started by Harry Reid. So we're trying to understand, our government now is openly trying to understand what's happening and trying to maybe even like figure out the technology. Why the fuck don't people care more about this stuff? What? Why is this still like you're still crazy if you talk about UFOs?
Honestly?
Yes, honestly.
It's because news and government and everything else for the longest time has been telling people that they're crazy for believing it. It's I feel like back in the 50s and 60s or whenever the whole alien, you know, craze started, that there were some people who were portrayed as nut jobs or eccentrics or whatever you want to call them. And since then, it's just been the default setting to interact with anyone who believes they've seen a UFO or experienced whatever with skepticism and to just say, oh, these guys are crazy. Oh, it's almost like instead of you're innocent until proven guilty, this guy's a whack job unless I have fucking an alien in front of me saying, hey, I'm new to your planet. So I think that it's just been decades of the media and the government saying, oh, these guys are just nut jobs. These guys are crazy.
I just don't understand what is driving the skepticism. Like there's so many other things that people believe, just randomly believe for no reason. Like there's no supporting evidence.
Like I can't tell you why other people don't buy into it, but I can only tell you why I don't. And it's something we've said on this show before, which is if extraterrestrial life visited us now as we are, their intentions are not good.
Probably.
And I feel like if they've spent this much time here and their intentions were not good, they'd already be doing whatever it is they're going to do.
I have a question, actually, Joe, because we've discussed this in previous episodes, and I know, yep. I know your stance on this, like you just reiterated, but aren't you kind of assuming the best in terms of the intelligence level or the level of dominance of whatever alien would come to Earth? Like, is there no middle ground or gray area as far as, yes, these beings could be intelligent enough to get all the way here and travel all the way here, but couldn't they also kind of be idiots? Like, couldn't they also like have a human characteristic of having a spectrum of intelligent and less than intelligent individuals within their species or whatever they are? Like, isn't it possible that instead of it being so black and white, that there's some sort of gray area that, yes, we have something smart enough to get here, but they could also be dumb and want to land and talk instead of either, you know, colonize us or ignore us.
So, like, isn't District it possible?
9. Sean, let me ask you a question.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, please.
To the best of your knowledge, how many dumbasses have we sent to space?
Shit, Joe. I mean,
Sean, what the point I'm trying to get across is the people we've sent into space
are typically competent, intelligent people.
They're intelligent people with graduate degrees, and they competed against other people to get those spots. We haven't sent just like me into space.
So the ocean.
Yeah.
So many years ago, maybe only the smartest, bravest people would explore the ocean and go out on a boat and figure out what's out there. How many dumb idiots do we have who hop on boats now at tourist attractions or on yachts and they just go into the ocean? Like, so isn't that valid at all? Idiots who are exploring previously?
It is, but also you're not just talking about the ocean. You're talking about like the areas of the world where humanity really hasn't touched. How many people go there?
Well, but even Columbus coming to the New World or whoever you want to say, sure, there were a couple of real smart people at the forefront of that expedition.
Okay. Columbus is a great example.
But there were also some idiots who were just following orders.
Columbus is a great example because he showed up in the New World and enslaved a lot of people. He was not a good dude and did not do good things to the native inhabitants of the places he landed.
Sure.
So if an alien showed up, why aren't we enslaved, Sean?
Well, may I interject, please? I need to say something. So we know it's pretty likely that there are two reasons that aliens would visit Earth, and one of them is to study Earth
And the other one is to fuck.
Well, basically, the other one is to the other one is probably to take advantage of Earth's resources and things like that, which would mean that they would be aggressive. But why not? Why could there not be a scenario where we have encounters with UFOs where they did not intend to be seen? Because they're observing. Why is that so out of the question?
It's not, except for the sheer number of claimed sightings.
Well, I don't care about any sightings that are not credible.
Either they're not or they're really bad at it. Is that what you're saying, Joe?
I think most sightings can be explained pretty easily. Almost all of them can be. But I'm talking about sightings by I'm talking about commanders and Air Force pilots and, I mean, people who...
I will give you a maximum of 3 credible sightings before anyone with any remote intelligence would say, well, we can't keep doing this because we keep fucking it up.
I see what you mean. But, and that kind of, I guess that is where Sean was going, right? Where you're saying that you have the technology to get to Earth. So this is something that maybe our species has been doing for thousands of years. Now we're at a point where it's not really, it's kind of commonplace to go.
It's easy, as a tourist. Anyone can go there. Yes.
And I see.
So these could be dumbasses that are like, hey, let's go to this planet. It's like cow tipping. We're going to go to Earth and we're going to shove these probes up their asses and then we'll send them back and people will think they're crazy. It's like, why not?
Sean,
why is that impossible?
The dumbasses aren't going to the inhospitable areas of the world. They're going to Disneyland. And they've got fanny packs on, and they're like, oh, this is too much money to spend on a beer.
Yeah, but I'm saying, why isn't the Earth Disneyland to these extraterrestrials?
I can see that.
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because Disneyland is highly sanitized and, like, structured for tourists.
We're assuming based on Star Trek or whatever other, hypothetical reality you want to imagine, we're assuming that there would be some sort of police force that would say, oh, well, we would not allow that to happen.
I think it's pretty clear that if they're visiting, that they are trying to remain unseen.
But intelligence has no bearing on wisdom or morality. So if someone is smart enough to get to Earth, it doesn't mean that they're a good enough person to not fuck with the Earth.
I agree, but they're clearly not fucking with the Earth because we're not dead.
I just don't think aliens have to be a binary good or bad. I think that they can be a spectrum.
I don't think they
just
do
like
either.
Humans are.
I'm saying that based on us still being here and not definitively knowing that aliens exist, that they have some sort of code if they've been here at all.
Yeah, they must. I agree with that.
But who follows that code? And are they compelled to follow that code? And what are the repercussions?
If we're having sightings, so credible sightings that are so interspersed and they're so rare, clearly they're making an effort not to be seen. So there is some kind of, if they're actually happening, then there is some guidance to that. There is some rule.
Sure, agreed. Because if there isn't,
then they'd be all over the place. We'd see them all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I get what you're saying. I guess
like fanny packs at Disney World.
I guess I just feel like there are smarter criminals and there are dumb criminals, and there are also instances where if you and me and Joe, or if all three of us had 3 different tactics to steal candy from a baby, if that was the discrepancy between intelligence levels, we could do it in 3 different ways. We could do it, you know, blatantly or covertly, and the baby is not going to be able to differentiate or identify any of the 3 of us.
Well, I think it's definitely possible that the sightings we do have, the credible sightings we do have, could be the result of less diligent members of whatever visitors. I mean, that is possible, yeah.
I would argue that it has to be.
If they are happening at all, then they would have to be breaking the rules in some way.
That's honestly, that's all. So maybe we agree on this. Maybe I feel that has to be the case. I just don't feel that there's a binary, there are good aliens or there are bad aliens. And if all aliens are bad, that means that if they interacted with us,
you know, but that doesn't mean that they can't also be incompetent.
Yes.
Yeah, they can sometimes be incompetent. Sure. Just
their intentions are definitely either good or bad from our perspective, but that doesn't mean that there can't be dumbasses among them from, you know, on their spectrum of intelligence.
If they're concealing it, and it seems that the limited number of sightings would suggest that they are concealing it if they're actual sightings, then, you know, yeah, they could just be observing.
Maybe it's still up in the air. Maybe they're still trying to figure out whether or not it's a good thing or a bad thing to reveal themselves. And some people are like, fuck you, we got to reveal ourselves. We're right here. Let's go communicate.
What would be the advantage of them revealing themselves right now, though, to us? Like, would we would want to take advantage of their technology. We would want to use it.
Of course.
We would want to use it to control warfare capabilities and things like that. Like, there's no good reason that we would want
for them.
For them, there's absolutely no good reason.
Well, no, I think there is. I mean, why? If I told you that you could communicate with turtles, you wouldn't want to fucking communicate with them.
Presumably they have the technology to observe us in such a way that they can do that without meeting us.
Interacting
also,
with
them. Also, yeah. Sean, I don't particularly care to communicate with turtles. I don't think they're going to
say anything interesting. I would love to communicate with dogs.
Dogs
would be way better than turtles. Yes.
Okay,
fuck turtles.
Well, that was an example. But yeah, so if you could like actually communicate with dogs, you'd do it.
All right. Gentlemen, next we're going to me.
Ooh.
And I've got a hypothetical scenario for the two of you. Sean, what is this hypothetical scenario brought to us by?
Hey, ladies. Looking for a Halloween costume? Come to the Super Slutty Costume Slut Store. We shamelessly have nothing but practically criminally slutty costumes. Slutty Mickey Mouse? Check. Slutty Nun? Check, check. Slutty George Washington? Why not?
Oh, God.
Celebrate the Halloween spirit the way it's meant to be celebrated, by showing off your ass and letting your big tum tits hang out of your costume.
Jesus Christ, John.
Slutty Incredible Hulk? That's so weird, but we've got it at the Super Slut Slutty Costume Slut Store. It's in an old bookstore.
What? Why not Minnie Mouse?
Hey, I don't pay these sponsors. I don't know how we select these guys.
Yeah, it's not like Sean wrote the copy.
Right.
It was clearly our sponsor.
A slutty Mickey Mouse when you have Minnie?
Who knows?
Why not do a Minnie Mouse slutty Minnie Mouse costume? I don't get it.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Maybe they have both. I don't know.
I mean, you're clearly not in their target demographic, Mike.
Clearly.
All right, gentlemen. The two of you, hypothetically, are on a game show.
All right.
So far, you've won $500,000.
I'd like to go home.
Are we each competing against each other on the same game show, or are we each doing our own?
Well, that's an excellent question, Mike. Up until this point, you've been a team.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay,
that's good.
So it's $500,000 for the two of you to split.
Yeah.
Go team, go.
But now you're entering the final bonus round. And each of you is being put into an isolation booth.
All right.
So, Mike, I'm going to ask you to remove your headphones and walk away from the computer.
How is he going to know to come back?
I'm going to text him when he can come back.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right.
I love this so much.
This is ridiculous. All right, I'm going to step away now.
I will text you when you can come back.
All right.
Oh, man. I feel so much pressure now.
All right. Is Mike gone?
Mike. No, all Mike. Right. We need you for one more second. Mike, real quick.
Mike, real quick. Question. All right, it's good.
All right, he's good, yeah.
Sean, as I've said, you each have won $250,000. Now, you can choose to keep that money and walk away, or you can grab the $1 million jackpot prize.
Okay.
However, Mike is being made the same offer in his booth.
Right.
If you both choose to split your winnings, you will get your $250,000. But if Mike chooses to split and you choose to grab the jackpot, you get $1 million all to yourself and Mike gets nothing.
Huh. All right.
Furthermore, in order to grab the jackpot, you have to sign a legally binding contract saying that you cannot share the jackpot with Mike.
All right. I understand.
Do you want to split or do you want to grab the jackpot?
So hang on. So if I choose to split and Mike also chooses to split,
you each walk away with $250,000.
Right. If Mike chooses the jackpot, but I choose to split,
Mike walks away with $1 million and you get dick all.
And vice versa. If I choose the jackpot and Mike chooses to split, I get $1 million. He gets
and
dick
he gets
all.
Nothing.
And there's a legally binding contract that says that my $1 million cannot be given to him.
Yeah, you can't share any part of it with him.
I'm going to do the version where we each get $250,000.
All right, you're going to opt to split.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised just because, you know, you've got more mouths to feed than Mike does, but...
I'm a selfish asshole. I feel like if you hadn't had the stipulation that legally we're not allowed to split the money, then I very well may have chosen the $1 million and then given him half of that. And I think that Mike sure. would agree with, I think Mike would agree with that. Mike would say, hey, Sean's a selfish asshole. He's going to take the million and then he'll split it with me. But given these circumstances, I love Mike and I would do the same for you, Joe. And, I would not feel good about taking that money and not being able to share it. So I'm happy with $250,000.
You're a good friend, Sean. Let's see what Mike does.
Yeah.
So I'm going to text him to come back.
And you want me to take my headphones off or what?
Take your headphones off and walk away.
All right. I'm on G-Chat, so I guess
I can message you on G-Chat.
All right. I'm going to take the headphones off now.
Okay. I'm here.
Hey, buddy.
Hello.
Mike, as I've said, you've currently won $250,000 apiece.
Yes.
Now, you can choose to keep that money and walk away, or you can grab the $1 million jackpot prize.
All right.
However, Sean is being made the same offer in his booth. If you both choose to split your winnings thus far, you get to walk away with that $250,000 each. But if Sean chooses to split and you choose to grab the jackpot, you get $1 million and Sean gets nothing.
Oh my God, really?
Wow. And the reverse is true too.
That's a tough
ethical
question.
If Sean chooses the million and you choose to split it, you get nothing, and Sean gets $1 million. Furthermore, if either of you grab the jackpot, you have to sign a legally binding contract saying that you can never share the money with the other.
I see.
So do you want to split or do you want to grab the jackpot?
So if we both choose the jackpot, what happens?
If you both choose the jackpot, each of you only gets $25,000.
Okay. Well, and if I choose to split and Sean chooses the jackpot, I get $250, he gets nothing. Is that right?
No. If you choose to split and Sean chooses the jackpot, you don't get a goddamn thing.
Oh, I don't get a goddamn thing. Okay, that's right. Yeah, well, my obvious answer is that I would choose to split. For sure. I have zero doubt that that's exactly what I would do. I'm perfectly happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need it. It'd be great to have it.
Yeah, but, you don't need it. It would be great to have it.
Yeah, and would I like to see Sean have a $1 million jackpot? Yes, of course. I would totally do that in a heartbeat. I'd just choose to split. I'd like to think we would both split and end up with the $250 each.
Do you think that he chose to split?
I do.
All right. Well, then I am going to summon Sean back.
Beep boop, beep boop, boop boop, beep boop, beep boop. Beep boop, boop, beep boop, beep boop, boop.
There he is.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, my friend. My good friend.
What do we got here?
Gentlemen, you've both been made the same proposition.
Yeah.
And now we're going to find out what you're walking away with.
Mike, if you fucked me on this, I swear to fucking God, I'll kill you. I swear to God, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, well, if you fucked me on this, I'll be fine. I'll totally be fine with it.
I know you will be. Your wife makes way more money, and she's wonderful.
Hey, way more money. Way more
well,
money.
More. Okay. Just more.
She makes. Yeah, it's definitely she does. More. Yeah, she definitely makes a lot more money than I do.
Anyway, on the count of three, you're both either going to say split or jackpot, depending on what your choice was.
All right.
And then we're just going to live with the consequences.
All right.
One, two, three.
Split.
Split.
And now we have a beautiful moment between the two of you. Where you both had each other's back.
I had zero doubt about that, Sean. I'd like to make that clear.
I told Joe that if there were not a stipulation about not being able to give part of your $1 million winnings to the other person,
well, then you do that.
Then yeah. I feel like you would know that I'm the selfish asshole who would take the million, but that I would split it with you. But because that stipulation was in place, I couldn't risk it. Of course, we're gonna split it.
Yeah, it pretty obvious. And actually, I mentioned this to Joe. Even if you did go with the jackpot, I'd be like, oh, well, you know, it's good. That's pretty great news for my friend Sean.
He did say that. It was like, very touching.
I don't.
That's touching, but also like really making me reevaluate my whole life.
You probably should.
The fact that Mike would be like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, I know Sean's an asshole, so that makes
sense. No.
I know that one of my best friends in the world is a selfish dick, but that's great, and I'm happy for what's happened to him.
But the point is that we both chose the same thing, so we were
good. I agree. I think it was a beautiful exercise in friendship.
Yeah, I did. I also said that I predicted you would split. So, and it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money you left on the table.
Yeah, Joe, if you'd have said, you know, $100,000, then I probably would have told Mike to go fuck himself.
Wow, is that all it takes? Really? A difference of $150,000 would.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, well, I'll keep that in mind for the next time I want to run the prisoner's dilemma.
I'm just joking. Probably less than that.
That took me a second. Sorry. I'm glad I waited to laugh.
All right. Next, we are going to Sean.
I have a game for you two gentlemen, and it's a game that I am positive neither of you are at all prepared for.
Good.
Excellent.
Goody gumdrops.
What's this brought to us by?
It's brought to us by Garbage Guys.
Okay.
So, I understand you got some garbage needs taken care of. Well, it turns out we got a van. We got some other stuff we gotta get rid of too. So bada bing, bada boom, match made in heaven. Tell you what, we pick up your garbage free of charge. No questions asked. You tell them other guys to scram. It's an offer you can't refuse. I'll see myself out.
Oh no. Oh no.
Pun is a bad
choice.
Wait,
that's the end of the ad? No.
That's the end of the ad. And what can I say? I also recorded this extra part of the ad just in case somebody was confused about the end of the ad.
Yeah, they had somebody there at the end to explain.
Oh,
the
so
end
you
of the
think
ad.
You think it was a pun? I understand. That's just how I say. That's how I say refuse. What are you gonna do? Back to you, Sean.
All right, guys. So you both live in the Chicagoland area, right?
Well, Joe Correct. Lives in Chicago.
I live in Chicago.
So and now both
Mike
of you
Mike lives in Chicago. If he's talking to someone from far away,
right?
And
right.
They
of
ask
course.
Where he's from. Whereas I'm actually from Chicago.
I don't do that anymore because somebody in a stand-up made a comment about it, and it's totally true. So now I say I'm from whatever Wheaton, Illinois. A suburb of Chicago.
So surely you two know a lot about Chicago sports.
Oh my God. God, are we doing this? Are you kidding me?
So I've got a game here that's all about Chicago sports trivia.
God,
all
right. Damn it. I'm so excited about this. This is going to be awesome.
This is not going to go well.
Our listeners do know that neither of us gives a shit about sports, right?
We are going... Yeah, so to all our listeners who are new, Mike and Joe are huge nerds who don't know anything about sports.
Can I just ring the bell now?
No. Gentlemen, you're going to want to go...
I know more about Quidditch than I do about real sports.
Me too.
Buzzin.live. I've got Jedi Master Joe, and I have... Fuck you. Those are my two participants.
I'm going to win.
I also believe that Mike is going to win.
All right. I have a series of questions about Chicago sports.
Awesome.
And you two, being Chicago natives, are going to have to answer them.
Are they at least reasonably well-known questions?
So these are honest...
Are they only about the 85 Bears or the Bulls of the 90s? Because that's about it.
Many of these are really rudimentary, simple questions.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
That's going to make us feel really good pretty soon.
It's only going to be more embarrassing for you two.
All right.
First question. Walter Payton is the Bears' all-time leader in rushing yards. What number did he wear? What was the number on Walter Payton's jersey?
I would have to just guess completely. I have no idea.
Jedi Master Joe, what do you got?
85.
That's a number.
Yeah, that's incorrect. Mike, you have one chance to guess here.
40.
I'm so sorry. The answer is 34.
I was
neither
closer.
Of you get a point.
Does that count?
That's true.
We'll go to the next question. The first ever night game at Wrigley Field took place in what year?
Night game at Wrigley Field, huh?
Jedi Master Joe, you were first.
1955.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Mike, you have a guess now.
I'm going to say it has something to do with the advent of electricity being everywhere, and I would say 1912.
I'm sorry. Both of you... So Wrigley Field in Chicago has definitely been... slow to take on new innovations such as electricity during night games. The first ever night game at Wrigley Field actually took place in 1988.
Why?
No shit.
Dear God, why?
Can I ring the bell now?
Because
can I ring the bell?
No, you cannot ring the bell. No.
Oh, okay.
88. That was they were actually the last stadium in Major League Baseball history to implement lighting for night games.
That sounds about right.
Okay.
But they were first to implement a weird piss trough.
So they were very... Is anybody going to win this game? I mean, that's the question.
Well, so far we're 0-0.
Uh-huh.
Mike, I do want to say that this is exactly where I want you and I to be.
They're going to get easier.
This is what I expect.
Next question. The Chicago Sting won championships in 1981 and 1984 in which sport? Jedi Master Joe, what do you got?
Women's basketball?
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Mike, do you have a guess? The Chicago Sting won championships in 81 and 84 in which sport?
Let's say men's lacrosse.
That was closer, but wrong. I'm sorry. It's soccer.
Who the soccer fuck knows really anything about 1984?
I've never even heard of the Chicago Sting.
Come on.
All right. Soccer. Hey guys, we're gonna get easier. We're gonna get easier. Chicago sports trivia. Okay. In October of 2003, the Chicago Cubs were just 5 outs away from going to the World Series for the first time in nearly 100 years.
Yeah.
That was the whole Steve Bartman incident. You remember that?
Yes, I do, actually.
Yeah, I totally know who Steve Bartman is.
I actually remember this, so maybe I'll get this one.
So, the Cubs in that series played against what team? Fuck you.
That would be me, thank you. Yes. The Florida Marlins.
That's That's right.
Yes.
The Florida Marlins.
I remember that. I don't even know who you are anymore.
I watched the shit out of that series. Actually, I during that time I was slightly into baseball.
I could have told you the year because I remember when stores had nothing but Cubs stuff the last time, but I could not tell you who the fuck they played against because I didn't watch it and I didn't care.
And I can tell you it was Moises Alou who got robbed of that catch in the outfield.
I don't think he would have made the catch anyway.
Probably
to
not.
To be honest with you. Yeah. No. But Mike is leading right now. We've still got a number of questions left. Our next question. Other than Joe Maddon, who is the coach of the Chicago Cubs, name any Chicago sports team coach. Jedi Master Joe.
The answer is Michael Jordan.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid that's incorrect.
That's a
Michael
shot
Jordan
dark.
Does not. Yeah. Fuck you. You're up next.
Yeah. Matt Nagy.
Correct. That is the coach of the Chicago Bears. Mike leads it now, 2-0.
Mike, I'm not sure we can be friends anymore.
What can I
he's
say?
He's such
I,
a jock, isn't
I work,
he, Joe?
I work with a whole bunch of finance pros who are just into
he's
sports
such
all
a
day,
sports
so.
Head. Just a real sports
yes,
head.
Yes, I knew the coach of the Bears.
Yeah, that's enough.
It's okay. We've got some more difficult questions coming up here.
Oh, God.
All right, folks. What is the name of Chicago's WNBA team? Fuck you.
The Rainbows. I have no idea.
That's incorrect. I'm sorry.
That's such a terrible sexist answer. I'm sorry.
That's a terrible answer. Jedi Master Joe.
The Chicago Storm.
Ooh, that's so close. I'm sorry.
Is it?
Lightning.
It's kind of close.
Please.
The answer
Rain?
Is the Chicago Sky.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Rainbow.
We were both
Storm.
Kind of in the ballpark.
They're both sky things that happen.
You're both sky had weather things. Events.
Sky things.
Yeah. Hey, for 3 bonus points.
Oh, God.
Name a single player in the WNBA.
How are you going to know, Sean?
Oh, I'll know. Fuck you. You're up.
All right. Heather Spears. He's going to Google it now.
That is incorrect. That's incorrect.
I have no idea.
Joe, you have a chance to steal.
Michael Jordan.
Michaela Jordan.
No,
I'm
no,
so sorry.
No,
that's...
Sean, does all anybody right. know anyone in the WNBA, though? Is that really fair? Like,
well,
do sports
really
fans
sexist,
even
Mike?
Know?
That's really sexist. How dare you?
Sean, who is the point guard for Detroit's WNBA team?
Candace Parker, you fucking sexist piece of
Are
shit.
Are you serious? You already knew that?
No, I'm just making shit up.
Okay, God. Thank God.
That was super convincing. Well done.
All right, guys. We still have a few questions here. Gentlemen, name a single player on the Chicago Bears. Any of the players. Just
yeah.
name one guy who's on the Chicago Bears. Jedi Master Joe.
Michael Jordan.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Mike, all you have to do is name one player on the Chicago Bears.
I remember the name of their quarterback. Yes, I do.
Do you? We'll see.
You
what do you
fucking
got?
It's, jock.
It's something true. I remember
something.
Trubisky.
What?
Trubisky.
What? Do you have a first
I
name?
I don't have
at
a
all?
First name. I'm sorry. I remember Trubisky.
Then
that's
I can only
I
give you then I can only give you half a point.
Mitch
Trubisky.
Yes, Mitch.
I didn't
right,
realize
so Joe,
Mike was such
half a
fucking
point.
Meathead.
Next question. Name one player on the Chicago Blackhawks. Fuck you. You're
okay,
first.
Okay, so my memory of the Blackhawks comes from a few years ago, but I'm going to say Patrick Kane.
That is correct.
Thank you. I did have to sit through a lot of Blackhawks games with Maria's family. They're
yeah, had to, you goddamn chalk.
All right, on to the next question. Name a single player on the White Sox.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we got Jedi Master Joe.
Michael Jordan.
Didn't he for a little while play in their triple or their like their minor league team?
Yeah, 15 years ago, Michael Jordan played on their. Mike, do you have any guesses for a player who's on the Chicago White Sox?
I'm going to go with Dave Nurgen Durgen, Sanford Gruber, Madugan Schnauzer, Johnson Harper.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Shoot.
Incorrect. Joe and Mike, name one player on the Chicago Bulls. Jedi Master Joe, you're up first.
I mean, I don't know when people leave or retire, so I'm just gonna give you the last name that I remember hearing someone say, which is Derrick Rose.
Oh shit.
Oh no. Oh, that's incorrect. Mike.
He used to play for them, right?
Yeah, Derrick Rose played for them 3 years ago.
So the last person
more current than I thought.
Yeah, the last person I remember playing with the Bulls that I could name is Joakim Noah.
Oh God, that was 3 years ago too. All right, nobody gets a point.
This is so embarrassing.
we've only got two more questions left, and this one is going to be a locked in question. You guys have to send it to me via GChat.
Okay.
All right.
How many players are there on an NFL football team?
Like not on the field, but just like total players on the team?
Total players on a team. You've got offense, defense, and special teams. All right. The total number of players on a football team is 53.
Jesus Christ.
I said 32.
That's so many.
32. Yeah, Joe said 22. And Mike said 32, so Mike's going to get the points.
God, Mike, you're such a jock.
That's way too many.
We have one more question. What is the total score, Joe?
Right now, Mike has 4.5 points. Joe has 0 points.
All right, this next question is going to be worth 5 points.
What a surprise. What a surprise.
Scottie Pippen
spent
most of his career with the Chicago Bulls.
Uh-huh.
But he also played. No, wait
already,
a minute. Somebody
I think I know this.
In.
I think I know this.
Mike?
The Houston Rockets.
Mike, you got it.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
The question was, name one of the other two teams he played on. One of the answers was the Rockets. The others was the Trailblazers. Mike wins the Chicago Sports Trivia Quiz.
Yeah, no shit. The score is Mike with 9.5 to Joe with 0. I don't applaud fucking meathead jocks. I don't even know you anymore, Mike. My God.
I'm very unsurprised by your result, Joseph.
I'm not surprised by my result, but I'm very surprised and disappointed in yours.
I can't help but pay attention to things that are happening around me sometimes. It just happens.
You disgusting bastard. I want to vomit right now.
I'm so glad you had fun, Sean.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Hey, by the way, my wife is pregnant, and we're going to have a baby.
Oh, my God.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
shut
we're going to have a baby. Congratulations.
Front door.
Thank you.
Congratulations to both of you.
It's going
to
be a boy. And he's going to be the ruler of the world.
How far along is she that you know that he's going to be a boy?
74 weeks.
I see. So she is approximately 1.5 years pregnant.
He's 3 years old and he's going to be amazing.
Congratulations, Catherine.
God damn.
Thank you.
And Sean.
Yeah, congratulations to both of you.
Mostly Catherine.
She is going to do the bulk of the work. Yeah, she's going to do most of the work here.
All right, next we're going to Mike. Mike, what have you got for us?
Oh, boy. I want to talk about... I know we discussed artificial intelligence once before, but... I want to take it a slightly different direction. So, Joe, right. Joe, what are we? What's this brought to us by?
Artificial intelligence, in a slightly different direction, is brought to us by trees. How many of them are magic? This question has been analyzed in depth and answered by famed cryptodendrologist Dr. Laird McShaughnessy in his new book, Are Trees Agents of Evil? The quantity of mystically empowered timber, or demon trees, as they're quite rightly called in poplar culture, will horrify you. Get it? That was a pun. God. Because poplar is a type of tree. An evil tree.
That's so stupid.
You can learn more about trees and which ones grant wishes or seek to devour your immortal soul in Our Trees, Agents of Evil. Available in both hardcover and paperback, because we need to take down as many of those wooden spellcasting bastards as we can. Buy it today, and don't go into the forest. Back to you, Mike.
All right. Spooky. Very spooky. So I was listening to Star Talk podcast this morning.
Yeah.
And they were covering the subject of AI. Specifically the kind of AI.
AI?
Artificial intelligence.
It's an underrated movie from Steven Spielberg.
Artificial intelligence.
Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And Jude Law and all that shit.
No,
okay.
But what is AI for the people
I've
who don't
know? I've only said it like 30 times now. It's artificial intelligence. So they were specifically discussing the kind that you see in Westworld, where it's essentially human.
What if I don't have a
human
HBO,
form?
Mike?
Robots, androids, Data. Think of Data, only with emotions.
From TNG.
Yeah. So they did a live interview with an AI robot.
With an AI?
Yes. An AI robot named Sophia. Have you heard of this?
What does AI stand for? Asian.
All right, that's all the time we have for today, I'm afraid.
Sean, shut the fuck up. Mike, please talk.
All right, so they did a live interview with an AI robot named Sophia, who looks like a person. She's got expressions and a face, you know, things like that.
Well, you need a face to
I
make
couldn't actually, I couldn't see her because I was just listening to it. Yeah, but that's what they said, so...
All right.
Anyway, the point is, I was very impressed by it. I was kind of spooked by it because she was able she was able to carry on a fully normal conversation with Neil and Chuck. She said things that were actually insightful.
Shout out to Chuck
insightful.
Nice.
Yeah, Chuck Nice, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Chuck Nice.
She said things that were insightful, like seriously, like she thoughtful. She responded appropriately to jokes. She made her own jokes. So we're a lot further along with AI than I thought we were listening to this, and it's spooky, very spooky. So I know, again, we've talked about it before, but specifically I want to talk about humanoid AI. Eventually it's going to be indistinguishable from humans.
Sure.
Kind of like it is on Westworld.
Yeah.
At that point, what do you think is the difference between us and them? Does it matter that they can never die, for example?
No.
Do they have free will? Do we have free will?
No.
Well, I guess that's a separate question. I mean, are we programmed too? Is it just a biological kind of programming? Could we be the result of, maybe biology as we know it is technology to some advanced alien species out there?
Yeah, totally. We're just meat robots. That is my opinion.
That's also my opinion.
Yeah, and we don't have free will. It is the result of previous stimuli and just genetics, nature and nurture are working together in harmony to make what you think are your decisions. They're your decisions, but they didn't come out of a vacuum. And we are just running on the program that is us.
I completely agree with that. And that's exactly what the robots, for lack of a better word, are like on Westworld. And it's there's this question, and it's a deep question. It's like, well, why, you know, what's different about them? Why is it okay to kill them, for example? We can fix them and they come back to life, but you know, and actually Sophia, the fucking AI robot, had a great answer to that question. And it was the specific question was, you know, is it okay for us to harm you? And her answer was, well, I'm not sentient, so you know, I can't say whether or not I would be affected by that. But the real question is, what does that say about who you are? That was the fucking robot's answer to this question.
That's a pretty profound statement to say, I am not sentient.
Yeah, she said, she confirmed that she was not what we consider to be sentient. And she said that the question is really more about what that makes us. And if we are harming something that we're unsure whether it's sentient,
what's a profound thing to consider is, what if something is sentient but is taught to believe that it isn't?
Yeah, that's a great question. I didn't consider that, but in this,
yeah, that's, I mean, it's exactly the same as like religious indoctrination in children. If you teach someone that this is the way the universe is, that's what they're going to grow up believing. If, you know, you have this new life before you and you're like, this is what you are and this is what you are not, that's what they would repeat.
Yeah, so you're saying that we could essentially, even if an AI like Sophia is actually sentient, it could be that we've convinced her that she's not, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's kind of fucking scary.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's a scary thought, I suppose.
Everywhere there's a heart.
Somebody who needs you.
Boom. Ba-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Well, with a score of 2, very deservedly, Sean is this week's loser.
Yeah!
And with that, that's our episode. I've been Joe Moracle.
Ah, God damn it. I'm Sean Keller.
And I'm Mike Pareto.
Have a great week, everyone. A Little Nonsense is copyright 2019 by its hosts. All ads are meant to be humorously fake. Any resemblance to a company, person, or other entity, real or imagined by someone else, is either entirely coincidental or purposeful parody. If you have a question, comment, or discussion topic, you can email us through the mail hole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. You can find more episodes and anything else related to the show at littlenonsense.com. And now that the end of show business is concluded, I'll kindly ask, Sean, would you please take us out?
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. A little whimsy here and there is often very necessary. Mingle a little folly with your wisdom.